In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Our Lady, Queen of all Saints, pray for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Sir, we're continuing with the new way of living in the divine will that Jesus tells Louisa. And we're on number six. The linked with Louisa, the priest must love with paternal and maternal love to love with perfect love. So here the priest is supposed to be have the love of a father and the love of a mother. And with this love of the father that is to lead and guide and direct, to help souls become faithful, to follow the law of the church, the dogma and doctrine of our faith, and as a mother to help people in difficult times like we're in, to give them the hope of, you know, God is going to take care of everything. It's that to be that mother during a thunderstorm and the children run into the room. What do we do? And the mother goes, everything will be fine. The priest has to have the confidence and trust in God to the point that no matter what we're facing, God is going to win. And we want to be one with God. We want to trust in him. Christian hope is certitude. We are certain that no matter what we have to go through, physically, spiritually, mentally, emotionally, God is going to take care of the situation. And we want him to really become our life, our all, our everything. And this love has to be there in the priest. So Jesus says in volume 35, not only this, he's talking about his blessed mother, in giving me milk, she, the blessed mother, also made me suckle her maternity and tenderness, imposing herself on me so that I love the souls with maternal and paternal love. I received Our Lady's maternity and her unspeakable tenderness within me. So I love the souls with a divine, with a maternal, and with a paternal love. So it's not just being friends. You know, the priest is to be the shepherd of the sheep. The priest is to be willing to die for the sheep. And when you go to Europe and you see the sheep pens, the doorway is always open. Everything else is walled in. And the shepherd was the gate. The shepherd made sure this is where the sheep came in and this is where the sheep would go. And he would defend them from the wolves, from those that would try to destroy them. And this love for his flock has to be evident. It really has to be evident. I remember that I mentioned it before at the ordination of my friend who, he said to the people at the dinner after the ordination, he says, God has given you to me. I have to be your priest. I have to make sure that you get to heaven. It's my job, he says, that none will be lost. And I was really amazed by just this love that this newly ordained priest had for the people. And he still lives that life of my duty, my obligation is to bring you to heaven. And this is what every priest should be. He should be helping people enter into this new and divine way of holiness that Jesus has showed to us about this gift that was given to Louisa. So Jesus says this, after Our Lady deposited all the souls within me. So all the souls have been deposited in Jesus. And this is what Jesus does with the priest in his parish. He gives them, he gives to the priest the souls of his parishioners. And every day at Holy Mass, you know, he gives them the opportunity that they can participate in the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass, and he prays for them every day. He is in charge. We mentioned this once before. If a person in your parish goes to hell, the pastor, God's going to say, "How did this happen? What did you do to help that individual?" And this is everybody in your parish. What did you do to help this soul know me, love me, serve me? What did you do? And that's why the saints have said that the pavement of hell is covered with the skulls of priests. It's the priest's responsibility to bring his flock to heaven. That's his job. That's what God wants. So here he says, Our Lady deposited all the souls within me, because in time and in eternity, Jesus would say to Our Lady, these are your children, through John at the foot of the cross, and say to John, which is all of us, this is your mother. So she has all the souls within her. And when you read the prodigies of the Blessed Mother, when you read this, it's just astonishing how much our God loves us so much that he would give us the Blessed Mother. So Our Lady deposited all the souls within me with one of my stratagems, love, with a breath, with a sweet gaze, and I, God, redeposited them again in her maternal heart. So there's this love of Jesus and Mary, the new Adam and the new Eve, where Jesus possesses all the souls as God, and now he possesses souls with her heart, with her love. He says, I redeposited them again in her maternal heart. To repay her, I gave her my paternal love. So here, as Our Lady breathed this maternal love into Jesus, Jesus breathes this paternal love into Mary. This is why when we pray the Holy Rosary and we focus on the memory of Jesus and Mary, what happens is we fall more in love with our Lord, our Savior, our Master, our King, and we fall more in love with our Queen and our Mother. My divine love, which is unceasing, my divine love, which is firm and unshakable and never moves. She says this love that Jesus possesses, he gave to the Blessed Mother as well. So now we're receiving a double love from Jesus, a double love from Mary. And this double love of Jesus and Mary has to be found in the priest. The priest has to have this love for his flock. He's responsible that every one of them gets to heaven. He's responsible that everyone is led back to the Lord. So human love changes easily, and it's fickle. So I, God, wanted my inseparable mother to have the same attitude of my divine love and to love souls the way only a God can love. So now here we're seeing the beauty, the depth of Our Lady breathing with this breath of love that Jesus possesses. Remember, when we go to Holy Communion, it's flesh of her flesh, bone of her bone, blood of her blood that we receive in the Holy Eucharist. It's we receive Jesus and Mary. And that's the thing that's so beautiful, is the new Adam and the new Eve wants us to possess this abundant life of the new Adam and the new Eve. And they want us to possess this life. And Jesus is explaining it's not human love, it's divine love. So you see the Sacred Heart of Jesus and the Immaculate Heart of Mary. This double love is coming to all of humanity through the priest. And so the priest is the one who's been called by God from the beginning of time to bring all of humanity before the throne of God. So this is what's so great. I wanted my inseparable mother to have my same attitudes of my love, my same attitude and love of the souls that only the way that only a God can love. So here, Jesus is showing us that the priest has to be living a life that is not of the earth. And this is the thing that's so important, to begin to live a life, the true life of Jesus, the true life of Mary. And this is what the priest is to give this to his flock. I mean, he feeds them with his homily. He feeds them with what he has inside. He gives to them this love of Jesus and Mary. So in volume 36, 420, 1938, not only this, but by offering Our Lady's maternity, Our Lady offers perfection among creatures, so that souls may love each other with maternal love, which is constant and sacrificing, unselfish love. So again, this love of Jesus and Mary is to be given to all of humanity, and to really begin to love as God loves, to really begin to possess this love of heaven. So he says, to offer her maternity, she offers perfection to her children, so that they, her children, love each other with her maternal love. So again, when you pray the rosary every day, when you wear the scapular every day, you wear the scapular because it's the clothing of heaven. And Jesus tells Luisa, we're going to be reclothed in divinity. That's what God has planned. He wants to reclothe us in this divine life. And it's close. It's very, very close. It's here for those who want it. So our job is to let go of the things of earth and really begin to live the way of heaven. That's the life of a priest. That's what God is calling the priesthood to. That's why he says, I'm going to renew the priesthood. He says, I'm going to make the priesthood what I've wanted from the beginning. And so we're going to see the church has to be purified for this great gift of the divine will. The church is being purified. The world is being purified because, as Jesus said 2,000 years ago, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Because of Luisa, the kingdom of God is here. And our God is asking us, pleading us to really begin to live this abundant life of the true life of Jesus, the true life of Mary, which the priest should possess. And this is why the Eucharistic adoration is so essential. We have to fall in love with our Eucharistic Lord. And by falling in love with our Eucharistic Lord, he teaches us about his mother. Again, the prodigies of the Blessed Mother, if you haven't read it, it's astonishing. And as you read it, he keeps on expanding our capacity to understand more. He says there are many, many books, but the only book that can transform a soul is the Book of Heaven. Now, why? Because these words of Jesus, these words that Jesus are speaking are forever. They are light and life and love. And as we read that word again, it expands to a new and divine way of understanding it. And anybody that you ask, it's very, very clear. When you ask them, you've read it, is it new? And everyone who reads the Book of Heaven again and again and again, just say, every time, I've never read this before. Why? He's expanding our capacity to understand more of what this word is all about. And this is going to go on for all eternity. He's going to keep on revealing to us this new and divine way of holiness. And that eternal awe of God is how we live when we read the Book of Heaven. So now number seven, linked with Luisa, the priest must advance in the knowledge of all the manifestations, all the surprises of love, all the treasures of the Holy Spirit, all the secrets. Jesus is saying you have to begin to think from a divine perspective. The priest must advance in the knowledge of all the manifestations. These lessons, like Jesus is giving us these lessons right now, as we read them and read them again and then read them again, he's constantly re-expanding our capacity to embrace this gift. The priest must advance in the knowledge of these lessons of the, all the manifestations of all the goods contained in the supreme fiat. So this is eternal. This is going to go on forever. And our God is going to, he says, I want to fill you to overflowing. I want this overflowing of love, of light, of life of God to all of humanity. So the priest has to be the expert of this. Okay. The priest, see, this is the first bread. There's three breads. There's your wonder bread, the third bread that you eat every day. And then there's the second bread, the supersubstantial bread of the Holy Eucharist. And Jesus says, I give this Eucharist to the church, to my people, so that they can get ready to receive the perennial communion that will never end. So every day when we receive Holy Communion, that 15 minutes after Holy Communion is what Jesus says, until the host dissolves, the mystical presence of God is there. The real presence of Christ is there. Your communion is there. And that's why Holy Mass ends. The church doesn't want to interfere with your communion with our Lord, our Savior, our Master, our King. So he's asking us, as we enter into this desire for Jesus, to be in communion with Jesus, we're preparing ourselves for the perennial communion of paradise, the perennial communion of Eden, the perennial communion with God in eternity in heaven. So the first bread is the bread that God breathed into Adam, the image and likeness of God. So right now we're receiving the second bread, the supersubstantial bread of the Holy Eucharist, to prepare ourselves to enter into this abundant life with our Lord, our Savior, our Master, our King, to enter into this intimate life with God. And so our Lord is looking at us and he's saying very, very clearly, you have to begin to live this. He says, you have to know this. To possess it, you have to know it. So it's not anything less than sharing in divinity. See, the more that he breathes this breath of God, this Ruach of God into us as we read, as we study, as we put this into practice, the more we begin to possess this gift. Again, Jesus says 100% if you wish, 60%, 30%. What do you want? Jesus says, I have to give this to you. So as we're studying this, as we're reading this, as we're entering into this life, then from the pulpit, the priest can give this first bread to all the children, all the parish. It's his job to know this and to explain it to his children. Know this and explain it to the parish. So what is really important is it's as we begin to receive this, this is what he says to Louisa. As the priest gives this gift, the people have to be like a little bird in the nest with their mouth wide open to receive this gift that the priest knows about, loves, possesses, and gives to his family, gives to his children, gives to the parishioners. And this is the way God set it up. Father Bucci always said, he said, it would be foolish for a lay person to say, I don't have the Eucharist, so I've got an altar, I've got some bread, this is my body, now I've got the Eucharist. He says, it doesn't work like that. He says, the gift has to be given by the priest, because Jesus calls the divine will the sacrament of sacraments. And this sacrament of sacraments is given to the church through the priesthood. So it's what God is doing is he's getting everything ready so that when this great event occurs, this outpouring of the Holy Spirit that's coming, the people will be ready to embrace this. The people will want to embrace it. That's why when you read the three appeals, the third appeal is where Louisa talks. And Louisa says, first to the Pope, you must be the first one to possess this gift. You must have the fullness of this. You must be the one, because you're head of the church, you're head of the divine will, and you can, by proclaiming this, the world will be able to embrace it. He has the keys to the kingdom. So this is what That's the first from Louisa. The second is to the priests. And she says to the priests, you feed the people with a cold, stale bread that's hard to digest. And Louisa says to the priests, read the divine will. God will give you surprising truths. God will reveal to you things that you've never heard. He will open the doors for you to receive what our dogma and doctrine has taught, you know, from the beginning, basically, to give this gift, to give this life to humanity. So the priest has that responsibility to explain the divine will. Now, that doesn't mean you can't talk about the divine will. Everybody should be talking about the divine will. But to explain what this is, I've heard so many lay people talk about the divine will, and it's good, but it's not accurate. It's good, but it's like a layperson in the pulpit giving a homily. It might be a good talk, but it's not a homily. A homily is where the Holy Spirit speaking to the priest, the people are changed because God is doing it. The priest is just the vehicle. The God is, I don't know how many times people have said to me, when you said ABC, it changed my life. And I said, I never said ABC, but that's what they heard. It's God working in the homily. God is saying to the soul who's eager to follow God, to listen to God, to draw close to God, through the priest, through the deacon, through the bishop, this understanding of divine realities that are not spoken with human terms. Scripture even says that when we pray with the Holy Spirit, we're moaning. There's no words to this. It's a moan. It's a longing. It's a love. It's a desire for God. And this is what the priest speaks from the pulpit. The deacon speaks from the pulpit. The bishop speaks from the pulpit, and God is working. And we don't want to Protestantize this great gift, this sacrament of sacraments, Jesus calls it. So in Psalm 118, scripture says, perfect in your own servant's heart, the knowledge of your will. Perfect in your own servant's heart, the knowledge of your will. That's what's happening with this. As we read, as we study, as we put this into practice, the priests are becoming aware through all that they've been taught about the dogma and doctrine of our faith, and everything is being put together by the Lord. The Lord is doing this. It's as John Paul II said, a new and divine way of holiness. So what is happening is God is working powerfully through his church. And this is the best part. Jesus says that when this great miracle happens, that's coming, humanity is going to want, they're going to say, how do we receive this life? How do we receive this light, this love of God? How do we possess it? And it will be, the first response is baptism, holy baptism, to be in God's image. And then to the likeness is to begin to understand the book of heaven. Because Jesus says to Louisa, I've taught no one this until now. Why? To bring to the earth. It was like we didn't know about divine mercy until St. Faustina. We didn't know about the Sacred Heart until we had St. Margaret. It's God wants to fill us to overflowing. And this is the thing that's so beautiful about this gift. It's as we read, as we study, as we put this into practice, everything falls into place. So he says, perfect in your own servants, the priests, the heart, priest's heart, the knowledge of your divine will. Barak, Israel, blessed race is ours that has knowledge of God's holy divine will. So here God is saying to us, wait to see what I'm going to do. And he's really putting it in the hands of the priests. And Jesus said to Louisa, when Louisa said, I don't see any priests, Jesus says, I will give to one priest if he's doing the work of 10. I'll do in one priest the work of who's doing 100. I'll do to one priest he who is doing the work of 1,000. God's going to do this. God's going to find the souls who want to do this, and God is going to bring this about. It's his will. It's not human will. So volume 20, 130, 1927. From here is the necessity of the knowledges. So here, these truths, these secrets, these promises, these knowledges, these lessons that Jesus is manifesting to Louisa, he says, this is the necessity of all of this. These will be the incitements and will whet the appetite of humanity, of creatures, for tasting a food that is so delicious. Here's the first bread. They will feel all the will, the yearnings to live in a kingdom so happy. Okay, so here, as you add, this will happen. This is what's happening to everybody who's reading the Book of Heaven. As you continue to read, you go, I really want this. This, our God is so amazing. Our God is so great that he's offering this to us. I really want this. He's whetting your appetite for tasting the food that is so delicious, this first bread. And they will feel all the will, all the yearning to live in a kingdom so happy. And that's the thing that happens with the children of the divine will. They're happy. When you really, this is why I really like our family reunions, the little family of Louisa on August 15th. We meet in Rome City, Indiana. To meet the little children of the Holy Divine Will, it's like we've always known each other. We know each other. We're of one mind, one heart, one faith. And the happiness that's there, the joy that's there, again, it really overcomes to the misery. And that's why it's the next line. So as to free themselves from the tyranny, free themselves from the slavery in which their own human wills have kept them. Your human will is miserable. I mean, that's what Jesus teaches. So he says, what is your human will? And if we're honest, it's when we make a good confession. Bless me, Father, for I have sinned. This is what I thought. This is what I said. This is what I did. This is what I failed to do. And I don't want to live like this. That's what we say when we go to confession. We're honest. This is my life. And I don't want to live like this any longer. I want to make a firm purpose of amendment to avoid every near occasion of sin. Why? I don't want to live like this. I want to live in a kingdom that is happy. I don't want to be the slave of my own human will anymore. See, what's coming is God is going to free us from our human will. I think this is the reason for the two keys that the Pope has. The one key locks up the human will. The other key opens the door to the kingdom. And everyone is invited in. See, we're going to be freed from the slavery of why we go to confession. No more worry, no more fear, no more anxiety, no more complaints, no more negativity, no more sin. We're free of that. We're going to be free of that. That's what Jesus promises. So he says to Louisa, begin to live this life now, this life of heaven now. Begin to live it. No more worries, no more fears. He says, I don't want to hear the murmuring that's in your brain. You know, sometimes when we talk to somebody, you know, we think, well, you know, I should have said this rather than that, you know. And Jesus says, no more murmuring. He says, what I want you to do is always think of me. Always think of my mother. Always enter into this love. Forget about yourself. He says, when you think about yourself, you just go into misery. So he says, stop it. So as we read, as we study, as we put this into practice, as we continue to go to confession, Jesus is teaching us to let go of the slavery that we're involved in. No more worry, no more fear, no more anxiety, no more complaints, no more negativity. It's everything becomes fiat. And sometimes it's really tough to say fiat. It's really tough to say fiat. And God puts us to the test. I remember the first 10 years from 1993 to 2004, everything that I wrote, everything that I studied, you know, on my computer, I had it all there, all 10 years. And all of a sudden, my computer jammed up. And I said to this, "They can help me?" He goes, "I can fix your computer." So he fixed my computer. And I said, "Don't, I want all the pictures. I want all the writings." And he erased everything. And I mean, all the pictures with the Pope, all the pictures with the postulator, the cause, all the pictures. I mean, everything I had. And I was like, and I looked at him and I said, "I told you," I said, "I wanted to save everything." And he goes, "Well, Father, give your fiat." And I went, "Give your fiat." I said, 10 years gone, disappeared. But again, when thinking back, I don't need any of that. Since 2004, it was 2005, we got the translations in English. Everything has changed. Everything. It was like that first 10 years was just getting ready to enter into all 36 volumes. And I'll tell you honestly, that was really hard to say fiat. It was really, but again, the Lord has to test us. Is this important to you? And I go, "Yeah, it's important." Why? I thought I could give this out. So in situations like that, it's, remember what this gentleman said, say fiat. And it's like, "Oh Lord, yes, fiat." So again, God's going to test us continuously because nothing is important. The only thing that's important is that we train ourselves, discipline ourselves to have heaven now, to have peace now, to have joy now, not after we die. If we're waiting for that life after we die, Jesus says you're going to spend a lot of time in purgatory because you've got to be purged of all that you're not happy about in this life. You're not peaceful about in this life. So again, there's many, many difficult things that we have to go through, but Jesus says, say fiat, just say fiat. And I truly believe that he frees us of the worry, the fear, the anxiety, the complaints, the negativity to the point of no sin. That's what's coming. And so this is what he says. This is what Jesus says. He says, "To live in a kingdom so happy, to be free from the tyranny, the slavery, which our own human wills have kept us. And as they advance in the knowledge," okay, so the more that we study this, the more that we read, the more that we enter into, like when you pray in the divine will, "Jesus, what do you want me to do today? Show me what to do today. Teach me what you want to teach me." As they advance in the knowledge of all the manifestations of all the goods contained in the supreme fiat, they will find your norms, how you have turned heaven and earth upside down, going around, praying your rounds of creation, praying your rounds of redemption everywhere and asking that the kingdom might soon become known. So this is what Jesus is saying. You learn to pray the rounds. This, he says this to Louisa continuously. This is your prayer life, praying the rounds of creation, praying the rounds of redemption. I know there's a lot of doing the rounds and making the rounds. I really believe Jesus, as you continue to read, Jesus says, pray these rounds, make them your prayer life. As you advance in the knowledge of all the manifestations. So each day, that's why, again, I like the calendar, because each day God gives us a new manifestation. And it's more than what, even if you've read it 10 times, it's more than what you've read ever before. It's brand new. A new manifestation of all the goods in the supreme fiat. And they will find your norms of how you have turned heaven and earth upside down, going around everywhere, asking that the kingdom might soon become known to all of humanity, be known in the church, loved in the church, possessed in the church. What's coming? Everything's going to be shaken down. That's what's coming. Everything's going to be shaken down. And good, because God is the one that's doing this. And he's saying, "I'm going to perfect the church. I'm going to perfect the world." because what is coming is so perfect, it's so beautiful, it's so loving. As we read earlier, it's the love of Mary, it's the love of Jesus reigning in souls. It's all of humanity with the will of God, no misery, no worry, no fear, no anxiety, no complaints. Everything is peace, joy, and happiness. This is what God wants for his children. To be of one mind, one heart, one faith. And that goes back to, in August 15th for the reunion, the reunion of the little family of Luisa. Everybody is really of one mind, one heart, one faith. That's what God is asking. And that's the joy of the little children of the Holy Divine Will. So they will find what you have suffered. Now Jesus is talking about Luisa. They will find what you have suffered, Luisa, to obtain for them such a great good of how they must conduct themselves and what they must do in order to have free access to live in the divine will. So Jesus is showing there's a certain way he's going to do this. It's not going to be a free for all. There's going to be the way that we must live. It's the true life of Jesus, the true life of Mary. That's the life we're going to live. There's going to be no other life in heaven for the little children, the Holy Divine Will. He saved the best for last. He's asking us to enter into this abundant life, this abundant love, this abundant light of God. And he's really like this week. If you haven't prayed the 24 hours of the Passion, if you have a prayer group, this is the best thing to do is to start at 9 o'clock in the morning and read the 5 o'clock hour. And you just read for 50 minutes and you take a 10 minute break. And then 10 o'clock, you keep on reading and then you take a 10 minute break. And then 11 o'clock, you read for 50 minutes to take a 10 minute break. By 2 o'clock, you're at the 3 o'clock hour. You've read all the way up to the 3 o'clock hour. And for a lot of times with people doing the parishes, then they get ready for the service, the Friday, Good Friday service. Then after the Good Friday service, we read the 3-4 o'clock hour. And we've done the whole 24 hours by 9 o'clock in the morning till 4 o'clock in the afternoon. It's 7 hours of prayer, but you can't beat this. This is so amazing. You really experience being with Jesus and Mary and Luisa on Calvary. You really experience the suffering that Jesus went through. And he wants you to see what he has done. That's why, again, if you haven't seen Mel Gibson's movie this week, do it before Good Friday. Watch Jesus die. St. Paul says, we preach a Christ crucified. And if you don't know about Christ crucified, you're not going to want to be in front of the Blessed Sacrament. You're not going to want to know more about our Lord's suffering. You're satisfied. When you have this hunger to be where Jesus wants you to be, and where does he want you to be? He wants you to be with his mother. He wants you to be with his little daughter on Calvary, experiencing his crucifixion, death. And then on Holy Saturday, the resurrection, where we say, oh, happy fault of Adam. We're happy because now we're not only going to get the life that Adam lost, but we're going to get the true life of Jesus, the true life of Mary. This is what's coming to the earth. This is the priest's job, to give this life to the laity, to give this life to his parish, to help them want to be with Jesus, to see Jesus. Again, John Paul II said, get ready for the new and divine way of holiness. John Paul II said, get ready for every parish to have Eucharistic adoration. And as if you don't have it in your parish, God might be asking you to work on it. And it's not difficult. It's not difficult. You'll be amazed how easy it is. There'll be some blocks, but God's going to do this. With Eucharistic adoration, great things happen. You're with your God. You're there with Jesus, looking at Jesus. Jesus looking at you in the monstrance. He's waiting for his people to now embrace this gift of gifts, this prodigy of prodigies, this great gift of the divine will. He's waiting for us. And again, we say to Jesus, Jesus says, if I have to, I will wait centuries to bring the divine will to the earth. We say to Jesus, no, don't. Let's not wait centuries. Let this get done now. Let this happen now. And Jesus says, well, would you do it? And when we say yes, he goes, good, I'll help you. God does it. All that he looks for us from us is our fiat. When the angel appeared to Our Lady and said, you're going to be the mother of God, she says, how can this be? I want to please God, but I already vowed a life of virginity. I'm not going to know man. How's this going to happen? How can I help? And the angel said, it will be through the power of the Holy Spirit. And she said, fiat mihi, let it be done as you say. God did 100% of the work. All Our Lady did was say yes. That's the divine will as well. How can you and I share in divinity, that which the priest says every day at Holy Mass? How can that happen? God is going to do it. And how's he doing it? As you read, as you study, he puts everything in place. He has this planned. And all that he's asking of us is, are you willing to do this now? Or should I wait centuries? I'll use somebody else if I can't use you. We have to say to the Lord, let it be done as you wish. Show me how to do this. Teach me what to do. And that's what Jesus is saying. Here's the necessity of the knowledges. This delicious food. To know in advance the knowledges of all the manifestations. Why? To be free of your miserable human will. To begin to live in God's holy divine will. And Jesus says, I will do this for you. See, the saints have always said, let me build something. Let me build a school. Let me build a monastery. Let me build a convent. Let me build a hospital for you, Lord. Jesus says, that time is over. Jesus says, now I'm going to build for you. Let me do this, Jesus says. That's why when he says to Luisa, if you haven't read the theme or the lesson where Jesus says, let me do this. He says to Luisa, I'm going to do this. Just say your fiat and let me do. Let me get this done. Let me accomplish this. God is going to do this. And that's why he called us. He's saying, I really want this done now. If you wish, if you want, if you pray for this, he says it will be done. So we pray. We present our petitions before our Heavenly Father. We pray that the blood that flowed upon the wood of this cross during this Holy Week, that the Jesus washes our souls with his precious blood, washes our minds, our hearts, our souls with his precious blood, so that we can be freed of our ego and our will, so that we live in God's holy divine will always, and that we be freed to live this abundant life, this joy-filled life of Jesus and Mary. We pray that everyone be divinely healed. And we pray that this prayer becomes God's command. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Have a good Holy Week and a happy, glorious Easter.